you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome into another edition of the Expats Podcast, the spooktacular edition. We're here. It's Phil Perry. Good. It's Rob Ninkovich. The voice really is what makes it. You have a voice made for a haunted mansion.
I know. I have that deep voice.
You're a big Halloween guy.
Yeah, I love Halloween.
You posted something, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That kind of blew up on social media where you're wearing one of those creepy clown masks just hanging out on your front porch like a friggin' lunatic.
I get a nice mask every year. I have a collection. Last year I got like this creepy old man. And then
just an old guy?
Yeah, but it's like
kind of scary.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
Just a creepy, creepy old dude.
What kind of voice do you use when you wear that?
Hello, kids. Come have some candy. That's me.
That's terrifying. I'm terrified. I'm sitting here, I'm just looking at you at your normal face.
My name's George. Would you like candy?
That's my voice.
Why is George the creepy name?
George?
You can go like Fester or something.
No, because George is just a normal weird dude.
Sorry to all the Georges listening to the podcast right now.
Sorry, George.
We didn't mean anything by it.
I was almost a George or a Frank.
Wow.
Could you imagine Frank Ninkovich?
You know what?
Frankie.
I could see you as a Frank.
Yo, Frankie.
What's your dad's name again?
Mike.
Oh, it's Mike?
Yeah, it's Michael. He wanted a Frank.
And Captain Insano.
Yeah. I know. He's here, but I didn't bring him along. He'd have been.
Wait, he's here right now?
No, he's not in this casino. He's
But
here.
He's in town?
He's in town.
What the hell?
I said, come on the podcast. He's like, no.
Why not?
Because he's, I don't know. He's
Captain Insano in our midst?
He doesn't know how to speak publicly. He'd say.
Well, it would just be a conversation.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's Iron Mike. We call him Iron Mike, Iron Worker. He's got the Chicago accent. He'd be fun, but.
He would be fun. I want you to call him right now and have him to come over here. We'll win some money. We're at Plain Ridge Park Casino like we are every week for Monday Night Patriots. It's Tuesday because we had a Monday Night football game. Mm. Before we get into the game, which I don't think we're even going to really talk that much about, we are going to talk about the trade deadline. We're going to talk about the Patriots as they are halfway through the 2018 season. But right now we're going to remind you to do what Captain Insano does. Mike Ninkovich downloads this thing every single week.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's already subscribed. So that's going the extra mile. He has subscribed on one phone. Then he has another phone that he just downloads on every week. He just wants to make sure that we're covered that way.
Phone.
He's a good dad. It's the bat phone. It's the burner phone.
Burner.
Captain Insano need a burner phone?
65-year-old man with the burner.
So if you guys out there listening have burner phones, be sure to subscribe on those as well as your regular phones. And we'll continue to bring you the fantastic podcast throughout the course of the season. Rob, what did you think of that football game Monday night? Because it didn't seem like an absolute spectacle in terms of how the game should be played in 2018. But that's just my opinion, and you're the expert.
Well, I'm going to say that everyone was kind of writing off Buffalo as, oh, this is going to be an easy one in Buffalo, yada, yada, yada. And I've played in Buffalo against Buffalo, and they hadn't had a Monday night game in 10 years. So, you know that place was going to be rocking. And that defense is legit. They're a good defense. They have some good rushers. You know, they were doing fairly well in coverage. So, I think they played tremendous on defense. And offensively, they were the 32nd ranked team coming in on offense.
Woof.
And they continue to be the 32nd ranked team because they are the worst offense in the NFL. So, Anderson, the quarterback, should have stayed on the golf course. I mean, I know he's making a cool mill for the season, the rest of the year.
He is.
500
yep.
grand after taxes. Probably not worth it, but, you know, whatever.
I think he got hurt, too.
Yeah, he got hurt. That's a nice way to go out, you know, injured. So, you know, again, I just think that the defense did their jobs.
Yes.
They played well against the worst offense in the NFL. So good. Pat the stats, get your sacks numbers up, get your you know, pick sixes, Dev, take it to the house, 22 miles an hour. He got his testosterone.
That was pretty fast.
You got a boost of testosterone from Benjamin on that crackback hit. Must have boosted him up. Gave him some
you're
adrenaline.
Right. He got drilled earlier in the game.
Oh, he got crushed. Yeah. But it was good. It was a shoulder, so I'm sure he's happy his coconut's not rattled. But
no, but he's got a bad shoulder, too. So
he's all right.
He's fine. Fine. He ran 22 miles an hour. Dude. He's doing a lot better than a lot of us.
If I'm running and not looking, you hit me like that, you hit the ground, pop right back up. You have no idea what happened. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? As long as you're not sleeping, you know, knocked out, you're fine.
You're okay.
Yeah, I've had it happen a few times. I wasn't.
Is that just
out.
Like a physical instinct that you're able to? I'm always shocked when guys get hit like that. And you really do. Just
you hit
pop
the ground,
right back up
you
like you're one
ground.
Of those punching dummies.
Yeah, you just come right back up because it's like it literally happens so fast, and they do the slow mo, and it's like, ooh, is it helmet? Is it shoulder? It was shoulder. It was a good clean, you know, hit as far as location of the
right,
body, strike
right.
zone. But in real time, that was very violent. First thing that hit the ground was his back. So.
Let's start with the defense because they did do what they were supposed to do. Not surprising to me. I mean, it was at the time, but you look back. Not surprising to me that Brian Daboll tried to dial up something funky to get the game started because it's a game where you probably don't have a chance unless you're playing from ahead. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they just sold out to try to score on that first drive. They break out the Wildcat. They break out the reverse flea flicker.
Too much.
It was a lot. And they clearly, and we're gonna look at some of these plays a little more closely on the show later, but even it was too much even for the Bills. Like, they didn't even know what they were doing as the game wore on and they were running some of the Wildcat stuff. What do you do if a team does that
look,
and just, like, shows you something you weren't expecting at all?
No, you're like, cool,
you
they're just going to
poop yourself
implode.
A little bit, though?
No. You're like, okay, if they're going to – you could tell by, like, the first three plays. The first running play was positive. Okay, great. You know, but then after that, you could see a little bit of the confusion. They weren't really comfortable running it. So, okay, run your stuff. Well, at the end of the play, so the beginning of the play, everyone's moving around. Then things settle down, and then they get into their offense. And they kind of just never did anything that could hurt you. They self-imploded a little bit. They tried to do a play action, keep both tight ends in, shot down the field. Anderson drops the ball, fumbles the snap, and the guy's wide open and deep. So, like, it would have been a touchdown. Just drops the ball. So, you know, I can't stand McCoy's running style. He stops his feet behind the line of scrimmage, which is one of the worst things you can do because it gives everyone a chance. I mean, yeah, he might have a flash and make a break something, but the majority of the time, I mean, he was going nowhere because he was trying to stop and make something when all you have to do is run like Ivory and hit the hole hard, and you're going to run for first down. So I think Ivory had 6 attempts for 30-something yards, 36 yards. Shady had, like, 13 for 12 yards because, like, he just doesn't know how to run sometimes.
He's just constantly looking for the big play.
He's looking for the big play rather than just taking what your offensive line is doing for you, which is making a hole for 5 to 6 yards, not a 50-yard gain.
5 or 6 yards, pretty good. If you can average that on the ground as a running back, if I was a coach, I would look at that. I would play Chris Ivory. I kind of get why you play
Chris Ivory.
McCoy. Like,
no,
if you're that offense,
you
though.
You play McCoy because you're paying him the money and he's got the name.
But he also could potentially break that one big play, gives you a score when your offense stinks. If you have to string together plays as that offense,
I would rather him catching
you can't
and running
depend
the ball.
On that.
I'd rather throw him the ball and hand the ball off to Ivory. That's what
yes,
I'd rather do.
I agree.
So I'd rather him coming out of the backfield. Imagine him.
Use him like James White.
Yes, exactly. You get him out of the backfield, run the wheel. They ran one. I mean, I had a tongue twister. They ran one wheel route, and it was successful.
Yep.
Then they stop it.
Right.
So that's why you stink. That's why you suck. Because you don't know how to continue to make plays back-to-back work. They have one play, then they stink. One play, then you stink. One play, TFL, then you stink even more. So it's like, okay, you get what you deserve. I feel bad. You know who I feel bad for?
Who?
Kyle Williams.
Yeah, me too.
And Alexander.
Yeah.
Guys that are 35, 34.
Jerry Hughes is getting up there, too.
Jerry Hughes is 31 or 30.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for guys like that will never, ever play in a playoff game. And they're really good players.
Well, they got one last year.
That doesn't count.
Last year was like an honorary appointment.
And like this happened and that happened. That wasn't a playoff.
That was a nice moment though in the locker room where they're like rooting against whoever that was. I don't even remember who that was in the locker room. Kyle Williams is there crying.
I'm blessed that I never had to experience that, watching another team and like rooting. Like every year it was like, okay, I'm in the playoffs. Great.
Right.
Let's get to the
Super Bowl. You were playing well into January.
Yes. So
at least every year.
Defense, good job. Patriot
good
defense.
Good job, good effort.
Good effort. I like it. I think Kyle Van Noy obviously had a great game. Good. He needs the sacks. Got his sack numbers up.
On fewer like pass rush snaps, he was more in the middle this week because Hightower was out.
Sometimes that's the surprise. You know, that's like
blessing
hey,
in disguise a little
surprise,
bit.
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah. Hello.
Am I rushing?
It's me.
I'm rushing. And then the guy's like not looking at you or like looks at you thinking like, oh, he's just dropping. And then you're rushing. And then he's caught off guard. Just takes a step, one step. That sack that he had a step on the guy, and the dude was done. So, you know, again, I think that that helps him being able to be multiple and go inside, outside, rush a little bit. He's not going to have the 10 sack numbers because he's not rushing every play, but he's not like a pass rusher. He's not a defensive end, you know. He's more like a linebacker that can blitz and get in, you know, get some pressure on the quarterback that way.
Plays the edge.
Plays
off. Bill likes him. He always says those things about him when we ask him about Van Noy. Van Noy's two-year anniversary of his trade was last week, so that was sort of a lot of the talk was got this guy at the trade deadline. He ended up being a contributor that year for a Super Bowl-winning team. Last year, the role kind of gets bumped up a little bit because Hightower misses so much time. Now, for most of the season, you've had both guys, and they've been able to kind of slide into roles that have suited them better. You're without Hightower this past week. We don't know how serious that is. He was on the sideline. He was in pretty good spirits on the sideline. He was in pretty good spirits in the locker room. We talked to him for Monday Night Patriots after the Bears game. And he admitted to me, yeah, you know, a little sore, but it was like didn't feel like it was a super long-term thing. So we'll see what happens with him against the Packers. Offensively, what I wanted to ask you about before we move on from this game, which was I know a lot of people just – it was like nails on a chalkboard watching this thing. The offense in the red zone had a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
As a defensive player
– it's pressure.
Did you benefit from crowd noise, and did you think that benefited the Bills last night? Because you get into that part of the field where it's probably the loudest part of the field, you're closest to the fans deep down there, and it felt like Brady was pressured and they were having issues. Not necessarily.
Okay. I mean, they practice with crowd noise, and I'm talking like deafening speakers. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm washing my truck outside now, I'll hear them practicing, and I'm like, that is insanely loud. Like, I can hear it from my house. So
you're an old guy now.
I'm an old guy.
Turn that music down.
What are you guys doing? You're messing up the neighborhood. Get out of here.
Wearing your old guy mask.
Yeah.
Calling yourself George.
Washing my car. So they practice in a lot of different situations, and they crank the music up. And I don't think the music really or the crowd noise
didn't have anything to
do
with it.
It really affects you that much. Okay. I think the more impact was, you know, your first series, Kyle Williams just crushes Tom. Mm-hmm. You know, then he gets off the spot a bunch. You see him almost intentionally ground a few times. You see him doing things that when you put pressure on somebody, that's what happens. So, you know, I think you kind of see a trend, and I'm not saying it's a trend that is, like, beyond anyone else's, like, oh, this is how you do it. It's very simple. If you put pressure on a quarterback, it's not easy to play football. So, you know, they have the guys that can do it. They put the pressure on them. I think they played well on the outside, you know, being aggressive and getting their hands on receivers to try and, you know, affect some of their routes and timing and – it worked. So, you know, again, I think that you just saw Tom getting hit a little bit. Pressure was on. Tight coverage. Not easy, you know.
They also
couldn't run the ball.
Couldn't run the ball. That hurt. You know, and they had that formula that we've seen over the years, whether it was the Texans in the playoffs a couple years ago, even though the Patriots beat them, but they gave Brady a hard time, or the Jets back in the day. That combination of, okay, we can put pressure on the quarterback with just four guys. I think the Bills blitzed once last night, and Brady was still under a good amount of pressure, especially early in that game. So when you only need four guys to pressure, and you have seven in coverage, and the Patriots are occasionally keeping guys in to chip or whatever, the routes are a little bit delayed. You've got seven guys in coverage on three receivers, and it's tough to find any openings. So we saw a little bit of that in the red zone, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Patriots would benefit from having just a four-man rush, you know, and it's not.
Do they have the Jimmies and the Joes for that, though? You know what I mean? Like just the personnel to be.
They don't have the Bills personnel
said,
on
Alexander,
the
inside. Hughes, these guys, you know, Williams, these guys are pretty good
rushers. They're good pass rushers. The key to a good pass rush is not two outside guys that can just blaze off the edge. That helps. But if you think of the angles, right, if you have guys that are rushing on the edge and there's really not that much on the inside to push the pocket or to even just disrupt a little bit, the quarterback can take a step up, and that one step up changes your angle as a defensive end to where instead of running a straight line, a straight line just right to the quarterback, you have to bend the corner, which is hard because those tackles know, okay, ride them out, push them past the pocket. So, you know, the Patriots would benefit from an interior pass rusher. You look at the Rams. Look, if I was playing on the Rams with Sue and Donald,
right,
your outside edge guys can eat. And I'm talking just devour because you're just running the edge and you're like, okay, the quarterback's going to be at the spot. I know it. He's going to hit the back, his back foot. He's going to feel pressure from the inside, and he's either going to try escape out from the side or the back of the pocket. And when a quarterback goes backwards, it makes it easier for the edge guys because it turns that angle, like it turns the corner into a straight line right to the quarterback.
So how many sacks would you have if you were on the Rams this year? Last week we talked about putting you on the Chiefs. That might be a little bit tougher. They do have Chris Jones in the middle. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, it's just tough. With the Rams,
I say eight sacks. Eight sacks for Nico.
I've had a good consistent eight in my career.
Yeah,
eight
was kind of your number for a while.
I would have had 10 if there wasn't holding calls. That really hurts. I probably would have had 12 if I didn't miss a few plus the holding calls.
Whose holding calls?
Jamie Collins had
killed you.
Jamie Collins had two.
He owes you two sacks.
I had two sacks versus Detroit, and he had a holding call on third down and two or something.
God, that guy.
That hurt
me. Hey, maybe he's coming back. No, actually, the trade down the line is over. That's not going to happen. Do you want to move on from this game? I think we should move on.
Let's move on. Let's move on to trades.
Well, let's talk about trades. Patriots didn't do a damn thing. Are you okay with that?
I was surprised. I thought for sure they'd do something. You know, maybe not like big time, like huge name guy, but like a Vannoy type guy, like somebody that's not really known but has the potential, and they didn't do that either. So maybe they learned something with the backups, you know, on defense playing the Bills, or, you know, obviously they're content with what they have. We heard. Nobody knows exactly because they're not in the room with Bill, but and we all know how quickly any type of rumor can be shot down on someone. So
It happened real recently.
They tried to get Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas. From the Broncos.
Which I don't understand that one. Do you ship out a guy to get a guy? I don't know. That one because he comes in here. Yeah, he's a big guy. But, like, they have a lot of pieces. You would maybe rather a running back or a D end or a linebacker before you would a receiver. $12 million next year.
It's an interesting situation that they're in. Obviously, they didn't add anyone on either side.
That's bright.
But, yeah, they just turned the lights on us for TV. We're going to get a little tan here, I think.
Yeah. Questioning.
They have talent at a lot of different spots, but it doesn't feel like they have a ton of depth, like especially offensively. If they were to lose, say, Julian Edelman or James White or Rob Gronkowski or Josh Gordon, if any of those guys were to get injured and miss time, it feels like the offense would take a really significant step back because you really don't have anyone to come in and fill those roles. So, I wouldn't have been shocked if they tried to get Jared Cook from the Raiders if they were selling him for nothing. You know what I mean? Because Hollister hasn't been healthy. Dwayne Allen doesn't catch passes for you. And that's an important position. Patriots were able to win the Super Bowl in 2016 in part because you had a really good second tight end. So I was surprised they did nothing. I was told I would say about a week ago that it was looking like if they did anything it was going to be for a role guy, like you mentioned, a Vannoy type. somebody who wasn't necessarily going to start, not necessarily be an impact player right away, but might be able to help you down the line. They end up not doing anything. I wonder if this was something else I had been told was, like, in terms of the pass rush, because that's what I thought they might do. I thought they could use maybe a little bit of help in terms of pass rush. They kind of already have their specialty pass rushers.
Yeah, but they're not very special.
Well, so that's the thing.
Who's
but do you give up?
Who's our
you,
specialty pass rusher?
Adrian Claiborne is really just a third down pass rusher at this point.
Yeah, he's
so
making a lot
you,
of money.
Do you, he's making a lot of money, and so can you give up on him? I don't think you can.
You can't now because he's already guaranteed his money.
Right. So were you going to go out and trade for somebody like Shane Ray from the Broncos to be
well,
your third
like
down
his
pass
upside.
Rusher?
But you're not taking him off the field. So
who?
You're not taking Claiborne off the field because you paid him.
Right,
you
know, that's like, what I mean.
You
right.
take him off the field, then you look like, okay, we don't know what we're doing. So
right.
that's why they wouldn't do that.
Right.
So, you know, he'll be on the field. Hopefully, you know, and look, the guy is coming from a system where they would just run up the field and nobody had any responsibilities in how they would rush. So coming here was probably like, whoa, what the heck happened? And he's put pressure on the quarterback. It's not like he hasn't,
mm-hmm.
but if you're going to make the money, you got to have more than two
sacks.
He has
two sacks now. Yeah, he had one. He had
but
one
last night
Monday
doesn't count
night.
To me.
It was sort of a garbage time
it's
sack.
It's a garbage sack.
Yeah.
You know, it's at the end of the game. That's the one that, like, that you're like, okay, cool, I got an extra sack on the year. That'll make my end of the year look good. You know, I've had one of those.
Right.
Versus the Bills. You know.
Right.
So.
They're pretty good for that,
it's
huh?
It's cool at the end of the year when you're like, oh, cool, I got eight sacks. 3 years in a row.
But don't those kind of balance out? Like because there were plays I'm sure you made where it was like you hit the quarterback and he throws a pick or something and you get credit for a quarterback hit, but it's not a sack, but it's a big play. Then you
yeah.
get the garbage sack later on in the season and it all kind of balances out.
Yeah. I think the –
That was my just sort of like football
like,
karma assessment right
there. I guess
there.
When I – if I was a GM and I was running a team, I would – I want the guys that are – playing a lot to make the money, you know, and I know that sounds a little weird, but
doesn't sound weird at all.
No, but I'm saying like there are certain systems where a guy comes in, but usually when that happens, the guy comes in, I mean, he's hitting the quarterback every time he gets in, or they have to chip him, or they have to put a guy in an area to understand like, hey, when this guy's in the game, we got to stop him or else we're going to get killed, you know.
They don't have that.
Those are the guys
in Claiborne right now. And the other name that I think they hope comes along, I don't know how you feel about this guy. I know you've worked with this guy, is Derek Rivers. He's sort of that same mold where he's probably looking like eventually sort of a specialty third down pass rusher.
Rivers is a good kid. I like Rivers, you know, what his athletic ability is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this year coming back from an ACL, I just don't see the explosion, you know, like his get off and – You know, once he gets to the top of his rush, like just pass rushing is a reaction type thing. Like I'm just instinctively reacting to what that guy shows me. If he's high, I'm automatically coming underneath. If he's low, I'm going to work the edge. If he stops me, what's my next move? Like if you think about like, okay, now I'm here, what's next? It's already over with.
Right.
So you have to win early and win often to be considered like a successful pass rusher. And the one thing that I think could possibly affect them down the road is 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, quarterback sacked. It takes an extra second or two for the pressure to get there. Because if you're running games, it's like, okay, they have to develop. If you're getting to the quarterback, like the Vinoy sack, that might have been the first sack where the quarterback hit his back foot, and was hit.
Guy was there.
Was
right.
Just there.
Yep.
Boom. Hit
yep.
him. So those are when the fumbles happen, and all those things happen because they're not seeing you. They're not ready to get hit. But that doesn't happen as much as you would like to see. You know, it's
Vinoy,
his back
it's
foot.
Occasionally, Hightower, you know, is
but
the kind of guy
blitzing.
Who can do that.
Those are
blitzes.
Blitzes. And
Trey Flowers doesn't do it necessarily consistently, but –
But he's got
he's a factor.
He's a technical type rusher, so
right.
he uses his long arms. He
yep.
gets his rush down,
push pull,
push
thing.
Pulls.
Yep.
Then he waits, and then he uses his hands, and he gets around the guy, and then he's putting the pressure on the quarterback. But usually, the quarterback's the ball's gone, or he's like, okay, hits his back step, takes a step up, looks, scans the field, 1, 2, 3, throw the ball, pressure. You know, so
right.
I just think that you know, down the line when you're playing these games, when you're playing Mahomes or in the Super Bowl against a quarterback that can make all the throws, you got to either blitz up and hit them, or you got to get four guys and get to the quarterback.
All right, so that's what the Patriots are going to need to do somehow, some way, in the second half of the season here, because, A, they're going to be playing some pretty good offenses. They're playing the Packers coming up. The Vikings are coming to town later. You got some divisional
Vikings
games.
Vikings don't scare me. That quarterback doesn't scare me.
Well, we'll talk about that when it comes around.
All right.
But I think they could use a little boost to the pass rush somehow, some way. Let's do a – I don't – unless you really are dying to give your vitch for the Bills game, I would be happy with taking your honorary vitch, your honorary blue-collar Croatian brother for the first half of the regular season. There are a few candidates,
I think.
All right, you know right off the top of your head. Who's your guy?
KV.
Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
Because of the versatility and the availability. And
he's been there. He's made plays, you know, and I think that he's going to be in that category of underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he continues to play at the level he's at and stays healthy, like, people will say, oh, he's a great player, underrated, yada, yada.
I think you have some familiarity
yeah,
with that.
It gets old and annoying, especially when you have, like, 48 sacks. And you're like, yeah, I'm not just like, oh, look, I fell on the quarterback, you know.
Do people, like, call you underrated,
no,
like, to your face?
They
would
say,
like,
you're always in the right place at the right time. And I'm like,
what does that mean?
That would be, like, me going to buy a lottery ticket and, like, I bought it at the right place at the right time. Like
lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I don't like lucky.
So
you
tell them that's
I'll
BS?
Never,
did
yeah,
you say, did you,
no,
you did?
I'll just be like, yeah, right place, right time. Good. The tackles just let me run around them.
I don't think I ever had one of those conversations with you. I feel like I would have remembered that because it feels like you're getting a little heated right now, which I like. We're about to go
no,
on
I'm
TV. This is good.
I'm not heated.
No, it's good. I like it.
Not heated.
You did yell at me once because I think you had a hole in your shin and I was trying to talk to you after a game and you were just like in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I might have, but
felt bad about that one
football.
A little bit.
It's football. So it's all good.
That was like 3 years ago. No.
It was.
Was it? Three?
Yeah, it was four. It was my second to last year.
That was gross. You showed me a picture of it later.
Yeah.
You were pretty proud of it, it felt like. It was kind of an interesting, that was like one of the weirder injuries I've ever seen. But we could tell that
yeah,
story
it was from
later.
Cardona. Cardona did it to me.
Cardona did it?
Yeah, in my 10th year on punt team. Yeah, only got
did you hear that, folks? Did you hear the disdain in his voice when he said that?
No, it's
in my 10th year
cool.
on punt team. No, it's cool. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, I mean,
it was,
I like
you know,
hurt.
Once you get a little bit up there in your career, it's like, why am I still doing some of these? Although you said punt was a big play. Punt was a big play, so you like that.
Punt is such a valuable rep. And then we saw with Hightower, you know, blocking the punt. Like,
right.
That guy got embarrassed and got ran over. Like, I don't want my team to get embarrassed like that.
Right.
So, I mean, I did it, but the hard part is covering. Because then you have young guys that want to kill you. And they're, like, literally, like, salivating to take your head off.
All right.
And this is before all the rules were going on.
We've struck a chord with Rob Ninkovich. We have to go. We have to do a television show. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Congratulations to Kyle Van Noy, the honorary Vitch for the first half of the regular season. Round of applause for that guy. Way to go. We're going to get the entire restaurant here at Flutie's at Plain Ridge Park Casino start clapping. They have no idea why. But Kyle Van Noy, I'm sure he hears it somewhere. He appreciates it. Rob Ninkovich, I appreciate you. We will talk next week on another edition of the Expats Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.